So let's just open with a word of prayer, and then we'll dig into this message for tonight. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for meeting our needs, and I pray now that you would speak to our hearts tonight as we look into your word, and may you help us to learn and gain that you might be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now, if you can turn your mic to a mute, that way we won't have any competition, and that will probably help with the clarity of the message tonight. So if you just go down to the bottom of the screen and click on the mic and mute it, that'll be a good help. Okay? All right. Tonight we're going to be in Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. So if you have your Bible, you can open up there to Genesis chapter 12. And we've been looking through the life of Abraham. And as we get to chapter 12, we find that Abraham gets himself into some problems. And so we're going to look at that this evening and examine some of what he had to go through in this passage here. When I was a boy, in the wintertime, Dad would always take the tractor when we'd get a big snowstorm, and Dad would take the tractor and push the snow piles up in a big, huge piles around our yard to clear our driveway off. And so all around our driveway would be big, high piles of snow. And then my brother and sister and I we'd play games on these big piles of snow. We'd climb up on them, and we played a game we used to call King of the Mountain. And we'd try to be the one that stay on the top of the mountain, and everybody else we'd push off and then not let anybody else up there on the mountain with us. And that was a lot of fun when we were kids to be able to do that. And you know, this stage in Abraham's life was really a stage in which he was on a mountaintop in his life. Things were going good for him. God was blessing him. And he was rejoicing in the things that God was doing and taking care of him and meeting his needs. And then he faced some troubles and problems that caused him much grief. And it lasted really for a very long time throughout the rest of his life. And trials or temptations often follow spiritual victories. And that's an important thing for us to remember. And as a result of that, it's very important for us to also remember that when we face a spiritual victory, there's often going to be a trial that follows it. And we ought to go back to the scriptures and remember that verse there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 12 that says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." That's a very important verse for us to focus on. We're going to really focus on that verse tonight as we look at chapter 12 in Abram's life, because as we look at this passage, I want us to learn some truths about this verse that can be of help to us. First of all, I want us to notice here Abram's testament, his testament. Now, a testament, that's a kind of a weird way of saying it, but the testament was that a promise that was given of property that was going to come. So he said that he was going to get things and he could... God would meet that need and provide for him a land. There was things that God gave him there that could be of help to him. And so the thing that I want us to notice here is that God said that Abram was going to get the land and the seed. And please make sure everyone turns your microphones off. We're getting some feedback on some of that. If you can turn your mic off, that'll be a help to us. Okay? All right. As we look at this here, we see here that Abram, God gave him this promise of land and a seed, and that he was going to get these things and that God was going to meet that need to him, but God had not given him any of these things. But this was a great honor to Abram. Abram was enjoying this, and it was a blessing to him and a help to him there. And we see in verses 6 to 9, we begin there in verse number 6, and it says in Genesis chapter 12, verse 6, "And Abram passed through the land, unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram, and said unto him, Unto thy seed will I give this land, and there built he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him." All right, now, Abram there was walking with God. God was meeting his needs, and God was providing for him. And we see here that God appeared unto him, and that is a very important for us to notice that God appeared to him. And that's not something that God continues to do. We don't have appearances of God today. We're not seeing God on a regular basis. But in those days, occasionally, you look in the Bible, and occasionally God did appear to people as he did in to Abraham. And before the Bible was complete, that did occasionally happen. But over in the end of the New Testament, in the book of Peter, Peter tells us there that God has given us a more sure word of prophecy through the Scripture. We don't need the appearances of God. In fact, we read there in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 19, and it says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in our hearts." So he was talking here about the fact that God has given us the Scriptures, and we can hold the Scriptures, and we have the Scriptures, we can read the Scriptures, and so we have God's Word right here before us, and we don't have to have God's appearance, because we've got God's Word here that we can read again and again and again and again, and it's a great help to us. And so Peter called that a more sure word of prophecy. And, you know, on this mountaintop that Abram was experiencing, he responded very well. We see down in verse number 8, toward the end of the verse, that he built an altar unto the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. And we find also in verse 7 that he built an altar and called on the name of the Lord. And so twice now in these verses here, we see that Abram builds an altar to the Lord. He's worshiping the Lord. Things are going well for him, and he's enjoying that. Now, I want to show you, we'll see if I can share my screen with you, and I want to show you a map of Israel. And I trust that you can see that, but you'll see here on the map, you'll see the Shechem was kind of in the center of the map, and that's where he first was. It's called Sychem in the Scriptures here, but it's the same word as Shechem. If you look it up, you'll see that. And then he moved from there down to Bethel and Ai, between Bethel and Ai, straight south from there, and that's where he was next when he builds this altar unto the Lord there. And so he's worshiping the Lord, and the Lord is blessing him there and meeting that need. All right. Now, as we get back into where we were here, back in the Scriptures, we see that God led Abram to Canaan. Verse number 5, we see that. We saw that last time when we looked at that. He led him to Canaan. And he promised to give him the land. He promised to give him give this land to his seed. And God was promising these things to him, and yet he's still journeying south. He's looking over the land, and he's traveling southward, and he moves his way all the way down toward the southern end of the land of Israel. And verse number 9, it says, "And Abram journeyed going on still toward the south." All right? Now, if you're a Christian, God reveals his general will for your life in the Bible. And that's important for us to remember there, that God reveals his will to us through the Scriptures. God wants you to be baptized by immersion after you're saved. He wants you to join a biblical church. He wants you to develop a flourishing relationship with God. He wants you to be a witness for the Lord. He wants you to do these things so that you can grow and stay close to him. This morning we talked about bearing fruit and being fruitful as a Christian and being close to the Lord and walking close to the Lord and having fellowship with him. Scripture also tells us that God wants us to test all things through the Bible grid so that we can make sure that we're doing that which is pleasing to the Lord and not just doing things that are pleasing to ourselves. And as you yield to the Lord, he'll reveal not only his general will to you, but he'll also reveal his specific will to you. You know, you can go back over and read in Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2 there where God tells us that, he says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So if you want to know the perfect will of God for your life, spend time with God, spend time in the Word, and God will guide you, and God will give you the direction you need. Now, we've looked here so far at Abram's testament. Now I want us to notice Abram's testing. Verse number 10. We see there in verse number 10, it says, "And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Right? So Abram was faced with a trial, a temptation here. First, God tested him with a famine. Right? Now, this famine, famines are terrible things. You know, and I'm not underestimating that at all. Famines can be extremely bad, and perhaps this one was a very, very bad famine as well. Crops dry up, the grass dries up and dies, turns brown in the paddock, and the water sources dry up, the cattle die, people die. It's a terrible time. And God had allowed this famine in Abram's life to test him. Now, we remember, God had promised Abram he was going to take care of him. God promised Abram he was going to give him that land. God promised him that it was all going to be okay. And this was testing Abram's faith. You know, perhaps over in Mesopotamia, remember when he grew up over in Ur of the Chaldees, way over there near south of Babylon, that area was very lush and very rich. Perhaps they didn't have famines over there that he had experienced. Maybe this was the first famine he had experienced. We don't know. And so he's facing this terrible famine, and he doesn't know what to do. And he makes a decision. He is facing this challenge, and he failed here to follow God's word in this area and take heed lest he fall. He didn't do that. He chose to go and sojourn in the land of Egypt. All right, we see there in verse number 10, and there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there. Now, sojourn doesn't mean to stay forever. It means to stay for a brief time during a problem. So he's sojourning there, for the famine was grievous in the land. But as we look at this, we ask ourselves, did God send him down there? Is this something he did of his own accord? Is this something he chose on his own? Or did God actually tell him to go down there? Well, you look at the scriptures, there's nothing here that indicates that God told him to go to Egypt. And leaving Canaan was actually a lack of faith. God said, I want you to go to Canaan. Remember when he was in Ur of the Chaldees? He said, I want you to go to Canaan. When he got up to Haran, God said, I want you to go to Canaan. And now he's came down to Canaan. He's been in Canaan. And the famine comes. It's a temptation. It's a trial in his life. And he decides then to leave and Canaan and go down to Egypt. And his choice led him into both temptation and into problems. And that's what we're going to see here in just a moment here, the temptations and problems that came his way. You know, years ago I found this quotation that's very helpful. It says, the will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. Let me say that again. The will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. And so that's good for us to remember. If God is leading us, God will take care of us. And God would have taken care of him if he would have stayed there in the land. I really truly believe that. And God was testing him, and Abram decided to leave Canaan, go down to Egypt. Now, God also then tested Abram with fear. He tested him with fear. Look at verse number 11. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai, his wife, Behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore, it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, This is his wife, and they will kill me, but they shall will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and that my soul shall live because of thee. Now, what did he do here? Well, he faced fear. He was fearful that they were going to see his beautiful wife and kill him so that they could take her from him. Now, a couple of things to stop and think about. How old was Sarah at this time? She was no young woman. She was quite an old woman. In fact, she was probably around 70 years old. And, you know, yet she was still so beautiful that Abram was fearful that they were going to kill him for her. And this became a problem. What was Abram doing? Abram was really, he was facing one of those situations that were difficult, and he's thinking of all the what ifs. You know, many times in our lives we do the same thing. Something comes up and we say, oh, what if this happens? And what if that happens? And oh, I'm worried, I'm concerned. What if this? And what if that? And we have all these worries and fears, and we make choices then based on these what-if situations. And he thought, what if the king kills me? And what if He takes Sarai, and I die, and all these things, they're testing his faith. Now, what had God promised him? God had already told him that he was going to inherit the land. God told him that the land was going to belong to his seed. God told him that he was going to meet these needs. He'd been walking with God, and now he's afraid that he's going to die. And if he died, the promise couldn't be fulfilled. And so he was lacking faith. But, you know, I don't want to be too hard on Abram. Many times we do the same thing. Now, I don't know about you, but I know in my own life, there's times when a situation comes up and I start going, oh, what if this happens? And what if that happens? And instead of just saying, no, God's in control. God's going to take care of me. God's going to meet the need. It'll be okay. I don't have to worry. And it really is wrong for us to act on the fear of what if. You know, the devil often uses those what if fears to get us to worry and to make choices that are not good for us and choices that are not God's best for us. You remember, the devil is a liar. We know that to be true, but we need to remember that. We need to remind ourselves of that. He does not tell us the truth. What we really need to do in times like that is we need to trust God. We need to go back to verses like Psalm 55:22, where God says, cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And there in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. We need to come to God with our burdens and our worries and our concerns, and we need to lay them out in the Lord's at the Lord's feet and say, Lord, meet the needs. And we need to trust him. And you know, folks, it's easier to say that than to do it, and I admit that. But that's what God wants. That's what we need to do. That's what God wants us to do. Now, Abram convinced Sarai to lie to help him. And his motive there was, well, you know, we got to do this because I might die. And if I die, then that wouldn't be a good situation. Abram really was thinking all about himself. Look at verse number 13 again. At the end, he says that it may be well with me for thy sake. And my soul shall live because of thee. He's worried about me and my. And he's concerned that he might die. Instead of being a godly leader and a husband that he should have been, he was leading his wife astray. And he told Sarai to lie. Now, it is true that she was his half-sister, but it was also true that she was his wife. And in those days, there was no problem with that, but as far as marrying your half-sister, but it was wrong for him to lie, and it was wrong for Sarai to lie about this. And Abraham had left God's promised land that God had given him. He'd left the promised land. He'd gone down to Egypt. Now he's lying about his wife. Why is he doing this? He's doing this to help God out so that God will protect him in his life. God didn't need his help. And yet, many times we do the same thing. We try to help God out by doing things to try to aid God. You know, did God need Abraham's dishonesty to help him? No, he didn't need that. Was God able to provide food and water for Abram and his family and his whole company there during a famine? Of course God could do that. God had done it many other times for other things. Was God able to protect his life? Yes, he was. He didn't need to lie. He didn't need to do those things. And yet, the what-ifs got the best of him, and he yielded to these things and did what he should not have done. So the next time, you know, the what-if questions come to our minds and we start fretting and thinking, you know, what if this happens and what if that happens and I'm worried and I'm scared, I'm concerned, what if this? We need to remember God is able to meet our needs. And you know, I'm preaching to myself. I need to remember that the next time the what ifs come to me, I need to say, God is able to meet the need. God is a great God. You know, it's a time like that when it's good to start singing those songs about God and how great thou art and how the songs of God's goodness and God's greatness and God's power and God's faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. You know, sing that song over when the what-ifs are troubling you. And let it comfort your heart. Let it be an encouragement to you. And let it build you up. Quote the scriptures. Look at those scriptures where God says, cast your burden on me. I'll take care of you. I'll meet your need. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. It's going to be okay. And lean on the Lord in those times. God wants us to lean on him instead of worrying and fretting as Abram did. So we've seen here of Abram's testing. Now I want us to notice the troubles that this brought to Abram. Look at verse number 14. And it came to pass when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. And the princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen and he-asses and men servants and maid servants and she-asses and camels. All right, now here's the situation. They get down to Egypt. They're out of God's will. They've left the promised land. They're down there where they shouldn't be. They're not trusting God. They lie about the situation. You know, the servants of Pharaoh see beautiful Sarai, and she says, oh yeah, I'm his sister. And so they take her and they bring her to Pharaoh. Now she's at Pharaoh's and at Pharaoh's house. And the situation's getting bad. You know, the very fact that she was a beautiful woman, and it is really, you know, I get a smile out of that every time I think about that at her age. And yet she must have been an extremely beautiful woman for them to want to take her and bring her before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh took her to his house. Abram had lied about this, and his lie now backfires on him. You know, he was not expecting this. He was not expecting that she would get taken as someone else's potential wife. He was just thinking he could protect himself and protect his life, and there wouldn't be an issue there. He should have thought about his wife instead of just thinking about himself. And these lies that he had were not even logical. And the devil's like that. So many times the devil tells us all these false ideas that aren't even really logical if we stop and think about them. But the devil tries to lead us astray. Now, Pharaoh gave Abraham riches. You know, you ask yourself, why did Pharaoh give him all these riches? Well, it could be that Pharaoh was thinking of marrying Sarai. That seems to be the preparation here. And these gifts may have been a dowry. You know, in those days, they would pay a large dowry for a wife. And very likely could be that that's what was happening here, that these gifts that he's given him. And he's given lots of stuff. Look at all the stuff that he gave him. He's giving all these things to him that were men servants and maid servants and oxen and asses and she asses and camels and all this substance he's given to Abram. And Abram is collecting all these things. And yet at the same time, Abram's thinking, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? He's got my wife. And this is bad. This is not a good situation. What am I going to do? And so there's a problem there. Imagine Sarai's thought of all this. You know, here she's Abram's wife, and now she's over in Pharaoh's house, and Pharaoh's preparing to marry her. This is a bad situation, getting really bad, and she's probably terrified for the whole situation herself. And Abram's thinking, oh man, have I made a mess of this? What am I going to do? And if Abram had stayed in the land and trusted God, none of this would have happened. But he could have avoided disobedience, he could have avoided lying, he could have avoided losing his wife, and he could have also avoided gaining a maidservant. You know, as you think about that, what was the next thing we're going to see in the next few chapters of Genesis here? One of the biggest problems in Abram's life became Hagar, his servant, who was an Egyptian. Huh? I wonder where he found her. Wonder where he got her. Very likely, she was one of these maidservants that was given to him from Pharaoh. And now he takes her back, eventually takes her back to Israel with him, back to the promised land. But now he's got this maidservant that he ends up marrying, and it causes other problems and other issues, and we'll get into that when the time comes. But failing to trust God always hurts us. And we know that in our heads, but in our hearts, so many times we don't do what's right. And so, important for us to remember these things. Now, there's an old saying that we need to remember when we are tempted to do wrong. And if you've not heard this and don't know this, write it down. I think it can be of help to you. It is never right to do wrong to get a chance to do right. Let me say it again. It is never right to do wrong to get a chance to do right. All right. So Abram's thinking here, you know, the right thing is I got to save my life, and so I'm going to do wrong, I'm going to tell lies, I'm going to leave Egypt, or leave Canaan, go down there And so he's doing wrong to get a chance to do right, to try to preserve himself, to protect himself and to protect his family, protect his all his property. And this led Abram astray. You know, Abram fled Egypt to try to help God save his life. And God didn't need his help to save his life. Abram lied and told others that Sarai was his sister to help God save his life. God didn't need his help to save his life. And God does not need or want our help either. You know, he wants us to have faith in him. He wants us to obey him. And yet there's so many times that when we face troubles and problems that we're tempted to try to help God out. We're tempted to do things to try to help God to be able to protect us and to help us and to solve our problems. What we really need to do is go back to Proverbs 3 and obey what Proverbs 3:5 says. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Now that's a verse that all of us know. Many of us could quote that verse. And it's easier to quote than it is to obey. And yet that's exactly what we need to do. And so, folks, let's try to remember when we face situations, we're faced into a temptation, we need to remember it's not right to do wrong to get a chance to do right. We need to run to God, we need to trust God, we need to depend upon God. Now, what happens to the whole situation? Things are getting bad. Abram's getting nervous. Sarai is very nervous. What's going to happen? Verse 17. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidest thou she? Why told thee not that she was thy wife? Why saidest thou she was my sister, so I might have taken her to me to wife? Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way." And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him and sent him away and his wife and all that he had. Alright, God stepped in and protected Abram. God protected Sarai. Now, Abram made a mess of things. He left the land. He went to Egypt. He lied about his wife. And he gets himself into this situation that it looked like there was no way out. And then God steps in and he plagues Pharaoh's house. God doesn't tell us what kind of plagues, but with great plagues, it says there in verse 17. Great plagues. And through all this, somehow the truth came out that the plagues were there because of Sarai. And because of this situation that had taken place. And Abraham was shamed. Pharaoh returned Sarai to Abraham, and Pharaoh told Abraham to leave the country. You're not welcome here anymore. Go your way. And it became a very sad time in Abram's life. You know, God could have used the same omnipotent power to provide food for Abram. He could have used the same power to take care of him and meet his needs if he would have stayed back there in Canaan. He didn't need to leave. God could have taken care of him. God could have protected him. And many times the troubles that come our way are because we fear and we fail to trust God. You stop and think about your own life. The times when troubles have come and it's ended up getting you into bigger troubles, many times it's because we feared and we didn't trust God. And God wants us to trust him. And we then need to follow the Lord's leading and do what God wants us to do and obey him. And when we do the things our way instead of God's way, it always gets us into trouble. It always goes wrong. And if we can just remember, you know, remember this situation in Abram's life. Abram was having a great victory in his life. He was on a mountaintop. Things were going great for him. God had promised him so many blessings and so many great promises. He's in a land that God says, one day this is going to be yours. Your family and your everyone is going to, this is going to be yours. It's going to be your possession. And it was a great blessing for them. And then he gets into trouble. The famine comes and tests him. The trials come. And he doesn't pass the trials very well. And he gets himself into trouble. And then God has to bail him out of this. And then we can learn from that and remember this when the troubles and trials come our way. Now, when things are going well with us, we need to remember that after victory, many times, there's a temptation or a trial that comes after victory. That happens so often. It really does. And you, when that happens, we need to remember that verse there in 1 Corinthians 10:12 that we started with. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. We need to take heed lest we fall. Abram was a man of great faith. The scriptures tell us that. And yet his faith wavered. And he fell in the mud. And it made a mess of things. You know, we need to keep our focus on eternity. We need to trust the Lord with all our hearts. We need to follow the Lord's leading instead of running ahead of the Lord. If you are doing wrong right now, trying to help God, trying to fix things for God, thinking that, you know, stepping out of line with what you know to be right because it seems like the best solution to your situation, and you get out of line and you're trying to help God out to solve your problems, what we need to do is to stop doing that. You know, I don't know what your situation is right now, but perhaps you're in a situation where you're doing something you know you shouldn't do, but you feel like that's the only thing you can do because you got to help God out in order to get out of this problem. What we really need to do is stop doing that. Go back to what God told us to do. Go back to the scripture and say, God, what do you want me to do? And we need to ask God to direct us and guide us and follow Him instead of trying to sort it out and work it out on our own. We need to just rest in the Lord and trust in Him. And if we'll do that, God will bless and God will meet our needs. But it's when we step out of line is when we get ourselves into trouble, just like Abram did. God does not need that kind of help from us. God needs us to just cry out to Him and say, Lord, I need You. I need Your direction. I need Your help. Show me what to do. Show me what You want me to do, and I will follow You. And if we will have that kind of an attitude toward God, God will bless and God will meet the need and God will help us through those troubles. And we can avoid some making mistakes like Abram did that led him to Egypt, that led him to lies, that led him to almost losing his wife, and that led him into a shameful exit from Egypt. We can avoid those kind of things if we will trust in the Lord. So I challenge you tonight to just ask the Lord to help you during those times of trials, and they will come. Every time we have a victory, it seems like it's followed by something that tries us and tempts us to do the wrong thing. And so let's rest in the Lord and trust in Him.